ordinary, but is it just going to be ordinary? Hopefully we'll get done all four. What is intelligence? What is birth? What is nonviolence? What is equanimity? What do you think it could be? It could be just routine, or maybe there's something hidden behind all this. We'll find out. So why don't we start with our first timers? Your name is what?
Base.
Base?
PhD.
Okay. Base. What do you think intelligence is?
Maybe some people who want to understand the questions and don't know all the answers.
People who don't understand the questions and don't
understand
the questions but don't know all the answers. They're intelligent?
Maybe.
Can you explain that? Well, that's an interesting one. They know the questions, but they don't know all the answers.
Yeah, because we have to know our limits.
What I see what you mean.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
We are not able to know everything. Nobody is able to know everything.
You sure about that?
No, I'm not sure about that.
And your name?
Julian.
Okay. What do you think intelligence is?
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I need to think to me.
Okay. I'm sorry, what was that?
I need to think to me.
Okay.
What intelligence
is. Mm-hmm. But as you've been growing up, haven't your parents or maybe your school always told you you must be intelligent?
Yes.
So? Sure, like most people, they don't give much thought. Anyone else? Natasha, intelligent. You're what, 17, your last year of high school?
18 years last year.
18 years. Okay, so what will you do after finishing high school?
I'm thinking about traveling around Europe.
Traveling around Europe? With Katrina?
With it, yeah.
With Katrina,
yeah? With England and England, yeah.
Wait, did you tell her about our discussion last week? Maybe Katrina's having a change of mind. I thought you were going alone. I didn't know. Okay, so what is intelligence? You're about to finish your last year in high school, so.
Well, isn't it supposed to relate to the mind, like the IQ level and.
That's a good answer. That's what society will tell you. Yes, your IQ level. That's a very good answer.
Well, your basic grasp of concepts, you know, how quickly you grasp them, isn't that supposed to gauge your intelligence?
I'm not asking you.
Okay,
that's a good answer, though. That's definitely how they train us in school. How you grasp certain concepts. Do they teach you how to grasp every concept, or just...
Well, they teach you the basics, and then... Hopefully.
Then?
And then you gotta figure out the rest of yourself, I suppose.
Let's see. What would you say, Katrina? What is intelligence?
I don't have a definition of my own, but yeah, society says a great thing. How far you can grasp things.
What kind of things? What kind of things do you grasp?
Okay, say a math formula.
Math formula.
Or maybe even what's in here. Like understand the meaning of it. Not just read it as words.
Well, I have to say that what's in Bhagavad Gita actually can't be understood with the kind of intelligence they teach you in school.
Mm.
The knowledge that's contained in Bhagavad Gita requires spiritual intelligence, which is something different than the skills they teach you in school. Spiritual intelligence, well, we can read about it here.
Let's see. I lost my place here.
Where's the text with the different qualities mentioned where Krishna says all these come from me? Is that chapter 10? I just have to find my place here.
I've lost my page.
Page 579.
500 and what?
9.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Page 509. You see where it says purport? We're going to start at the top, and then we're going to read down. The different qualities of living entities, be they good or bad, are all created by Krishna, and they are described here. Intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective, and knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter. Ordinary knowledge obtained by a university education pertains only to matter, and it is not accepted here as knowledge. Knowledge means knowing the distinction between spirit and matter. In modern education, there is no knowledge about spirit. They are simply taking care of the material elements and bodily needs. Therefore, academic knowledge is not complete. Anyone like to comment on that? Perhaps Ron? Gavin? No one wants to take that one on, huh? Adam? You were
going to
say something about that?
Well, knowledge. Isn't that like the distinction between knowledge and wisdom, I think?
Well, you're being directed to something very specific here. Knowledge refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. And knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter. Did they teach you that in school? What is spirit and what is matter? Do you remember? Did you see that? Any of your, how many years in school? 12 or 13 years in school? Katrina, do you remember?
No, I don't.
They didn't teach you anything like that, did they? So the conclusion here is therefore academic knowledge is not complete. In modern education, there is no knowledge about spirit. They are simply taking care of the material elements and bodily needs. Anyone object to that? In Brazil, do they object to that?
I think you have to be the balance.
Okay. Okay. Now, did they teach you in school how to balance both? Did they even teach you in school that there is something, that there are two things that should be balanced?
Yes.
They taught you that there is spirit?
Not exactly spirit, but
religion. We're not talking about religion now. We're talking specifically about the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. Mm-hmm. To look at something and understand, is this matter or is this spirit? Did they teach you that in school?
No.
Maybe you're in the wrong section of Brazil. Did they teach you in here? But you're from the same city?
Yes.
Same school, too?
Yes.
No.
No.
Remember, huh?
Yeah. But he can feel the spirit.
Feel the what?
Mysterious.
How do you do that? How do you do that?
How do you do that?
Now, try to understand, when you say feel, I'm taking it to mean skin. You know, it's like you can feel it.
No, but energy.
You can feel an earthquake. Yeah. Well, the ground is shaking up under you.
Yeah.
The ground, you know, you definitely feel it.
Yeah.
But how do you feel spirit?
Energy.
How do you feel that energy? Got a real lively crowd today, Ron. So whenever you, that means the spirit is there.
Not always, of course, but...
I don't know, I'm asking you.
You never feel like that?
I'm trying. Like, what?
Yeah, maybe.
A cold day, yeah.
Different, of course, it's different. It's different.
I don't know. You have to. Does anyone know what she means?
I think when you chant him and you got your hand up in the daisy there, and you know,
the feet. So I don't know if everyone knows the lingo you're using, so you gotta elaborate. And you're from your own experience.
Oh, I was in a temple and I was chanting with my hand up, and you sort of can feel something. I don't know. It's just...
But what did you feel it with? Your hands? You felt something in the air?
Just a vibration, I guess.
Vibration?
Yeah, I think so.
How do you sense this vibration?
Feeling.
Vibration means... So what's vibrating? And how do you sense the vibration? Okay, and now I'll explain why I'm bugging you a bit. You told me that you have two aspects, spirit and matter. Now, how do you feel spirit with matter? Your body is matter. How does that allow you to experience spirit? Sleeping?
Yeah.
How can you explain that?
How do they explain when you're sleeping?
When you're sleeping, yeah. And you dream sometimes, yeah?
Yeah, but how do they explain it?
What is it? I'm sleeping. So, and I'm dreaming most of a big part of the time. When you're sleeping, you dream. And then you wake up, right?
Yeah. Your spirits come back to your body.
But are you sure you wake up? What's the difference between waking and sleeping?
It's what I ask you.
Okay, I'll tell you. The daydream is longer than the night dream.
Not an answer.
Why not? Think about it. This is real intelligence. There's the daydream and there's the night dream. The daydream is simply longer.
But we're talking about different things.
No.
Of course we do.
You asked me to, about sleeping, so I'm explaining.
Okay.
There's the daydream, there's the night dream.
But they're both talking experience sleep, aren't they? Other than the mind and body.
Yes, that's why they dream. Very good. Wow, we're really on the ball to that. Yes.
And when you dream something, and you think happen, what?
What do you mean? When you dream, they happen?
No, when you dream and these things
then you dream it happens in your life after.
But sometimes you do something in the day that happens in your dreams.
You're talking about the dream before the happening?
Yeah, but I'm talking about the after.
The happening happens after
the dream. First
you dream,
after...
No. Just like now, you're here, dreaming, in the daydream. So, at night, you may later dream about this. So how do you know which time? You see my point?
What about after dream? After
which dream? The night dream or the daydream?
What about when you see something that you think you have seen before, mm-hmm. and it never happened with you, for example?
So I mean, you're saying maybe you thought...
I feel that I was here sometime, but I've never been here.
Mm-hmm.
How can I explain that?
Maybe there's something familiar about what you're experiencing now that you experienced in one of your day or night dreams in the past. But still, you have to answer this question, and then we'll give you the award for being very intelligent. Why is it a daydream? Why is it a night dream? Ron already gave you a hint, so I'll give you a hint. Do you remember what he said?
Why is it a daydream? Why is it a night
dream? Why am I telling you it's a daydream and a night dream?
Why did you tell me that?
Why am I saying that? Why would you think? In other words, what happens when you sleep? You dream, yes?
Yes, maybe.
And what happens when you're awake?
You sleep.
You dream. I got it now.
You live the dream.
Huh?
You live the dream.
Yes. At night, you live the dream, and during the day, you live the dream.
I don't understand, because we were talking about spirits. About matter and
very good.
Spirit. And you
very sharp.
You could intimate in the other way.
No.
Yeah.
Because it's a daydream and a night dream owing to this, because we have this body. We are dreaming when you think you are awake, but you're simply dreaming your other body, so you're still asleep.
So what's the difference?
That's my point. It's a dream. As long as you think you are matter, you are dreaming. Now you got it. You got it?
Yeah.
Very good.
Because you are. Because you are.
You're not matter, but you're dreaming that you are matter. You are dreaming you're this body.
Yeah, I understood your point of view.
Point of view? It's reality. What happens when you dream at night? You can be dreaming now that you're back in Brazil, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and when you're dreaming, you're doing so many things. Right? You could be with your friend here, or you could be climbing a mountain or something. Or going to Rio de Janeiro, or I don't know.
Thank you.
So, and you see yourself doing these things in the dream, yes?
Yeah.
Going on a boat ride up the Amazon or something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens when you so-called wake up?
When you're so-called?
When you supposedly wake up.
What happens?
Yeah, what happens?
You come back to me on the
dream? Yes, because you think, I am this body. So when you're awake, you're an illusion, and when you sleep, you're an illusion. Because you're identifying with matter. There's simply a difference between the matter you're identifying with when you're awake, and the matter you're identifying with when you're asleep.
Yeah.
So the Bhagavad Gita will teach you that the matter you're experiencing when you're asleep is called subtle matter. Dream stuff, night dream stuff is subtle matter. And the matter you're experiencing when you think you're awake, that's called gross matter. It's both. They're both matter, though. And
more dense? More dense?
Okay, you could say like that. Subtle matter means things like emotions, thoughts, ego. This is known as subtle matter. Gross matter means flesh, blood, wood, walls.
But are you trying to say that we're sort of in another world and we're just dreaming everything, like I'm dreaming being here, I'm not really here? Is that what you're saying?
You're really here, but who are you that's here? What is the real you that's here?
So this is a dream. My real name is Dream.
The dream is... This is a dream. You are spirit, soul, dreaming. You are that body.
Okay.
You're dreaming. I am a girl. My name is Natasha. And based on that initial dream, you dream so many other dreams. I'm going to go to Europe. I'm going to be happy there. It'll be better than New Zealand. I'll find all the things I'm missing here. It's going to be there. You're planning it out in your mind, right? Dreaming, right?
Daydreaming, yeah.
Yeah. So, daydream, night dream. What's the difference? And the first dream, both day and night, is you think you're the body. What do you think about that?
So one day I'll wake up and I'll be another body, is that what you're saying?
Ooh! You didn't have such nice friends, have you? Stop. Yes. Then you would have to jump to point number two. But first, before we jump to point two, now remember what you just said. We have to make sure we understand this thing about intelligence. Please read. Let's read again. You can read the paragraph, Natasha, beginning with intelligence.
Intelligence, knowledge, freedom.
No, no, the next one. I'm sorry. Yeah, we just read this. Intelligence refers.
Okay. Intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in a proper perspective, and knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter. Ordinary knowledge obtained by university education pertains only to matter, and it is not accepted as knowledge. Knowledge means knowing the distinction between spirit and matter. In modern education, there is no knowledge about spirit. They simply take in care of material elements and bodily needs. Thus, academic knowledge is not complete.
Okay. So now everyone understands this a bit better?
I have a question.
Okay.
So the spirit soul is actually moving at all, is it? It's just fixed. It's only the material body that's moving.
When you talk about moving, you're talking about time and space. Time and space are things that only affect matter. They don't affect spirit. As soon as you talk about motion, you're talking about time and space. Those are components of material existence. You understand?
So that means the spirit soul isn't moving at all, it's just...
Spirit soul does not interact in a physical way. It doesn't act physical.
But when someone dies, right, their body has no need. It becomes matter.
Right.
Yeah,
it was matter, and it was just so hard to tell.
That was the spark that keeps my body working.
That is a spirit soul.
So if I have a spirit soul, there's a spirit soul within me, and at my time of death, the spirit soul leaves me?
Conventionally speaking, you can say that. I just gave him a real kind of mind-bender an answer.
I'm asking questions.
But conventionally speaking, yes, we can say the spirit soul leaves. I gave him a deeper answer, which is also good for you to think about, that time and space are physical things, physical references. But conventionally, yes, we can say like that. The spirit soul leaves the body, it travels, leaves the body, we can say like that. But if you want to go deeper into things, then you understand that time and space simply refer to matter. But no one would criticize you for saying the spirit soul moves from one body to another. You have to use the language we have, you know? Right. But what I've explained is just, I was just bending his mind back a bit. What you said is correct. But you were saying something a bit different than him.
Yeah, I'm saying the body has motion.
Yes.
Right. But that's how we... essence of that motion is the spirit.
The energizer of that motion is the spirit.
And without the spirit, the body is inert and dust and returns from that place.
Yes. But the body, as you know from so many Bhagavad Gita classes now, it's not the only covering you have. You have a covering of subtle matter, the mind, intelligence, and false ego. That's a subtle covering. So when you die, the gross body, the gross matter, it's finished. And then the soul leaves that gross body inside the subtle body. You can experience the subtle body when you're dreaming. It's called the subtle body or the astral body. Sometimes you have experience of traveling somewhere when you're dreaming. That is the subtle body. Have you ever done that, John? They even have a term for it. It's called astral projection. This is astral traveling. This is a bad place to sit, you know? Yeah. Please don't sit in front of the door. You can come forward. So you've had experience, right, of sleeping and all of a sudden you're traveling somewhere? Okay, that is your subtle body. Now when you die, you travel in your subtle body, but you don't come back to your gross physical body.
Uh-huh.
You understand that?
Yeah.
Just like you drive a car. So sometimes you drive the car and you get out with the engine running.
Yeah.
And then you get back into the car and drive. So traveling at night in your subtle body, astral traveling is like that. You just left your gross body and you're in your subtle body, but you'll come back.
Yeah.
Just like you come back to a car that the engine is still running.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens at death? Death means you don't come back to that body.
Maybe to another one.
You definitely go to another one.
Yeah.
Now, what body will you have next?
Yeah.
Huh? Which body will you have next?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Mm-hmm.
But is that not an important question?
Who knows?
Huh?
Who knows?
You don't think it's not a dangerous thing not to know what your next body will be?
No.
Can you know?
Yes.
Or do you influence?
You can know if you know how to analyze your life compared to what the standard is for getting different bodies. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches you what the standard is, how you get different bodies.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Just like to live in Brazil, you have to have a certain standard. Not anyone can come and say, I am a citizen of Brazil. Or for you to leave Brazil and come to New Zealand, you had to convince the immigration people at the airport that you had certain qualifications to enter into the country. So similarly, your next body depends on your qualifications.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if you don't know that system, don't you think it's very risky?
Yes.
Huh?
But you choose, I think.
Yes, by your actions you choose.
Yes. And to become better too.
To become what?
Better.
But what is becoming better? Better than what?
Than you were.
What were you before?
Yeah.
Well, I'm asking, what were you before? Worse.
Yes.
So, what is the standard? How do you know if you're better? You say you're better now?
No, I mean,
your English is very good, you know, to follow this conversation so easily.
I mean, it's better for your advantage, for your growth. You know what I mean? Yeah. It should be better to... how can I say that? To become more complete or yes, this is the kind of...
What do you think she means? Can anyone explain what she might mean? Mary, what does she mean?
To become better.
Suppose you had said something like that a few years ago. I just want to become better.
You just choose seems to grow up, to become more conscious about the things. Maybe.
Are the qualities in the translation? Qualities that make people better, like your servant.
Yes.
Forgiveness.
Yes. But who decides that?
You.
Oh. Well.
But sometimes.
I've decided.
You are a proud people, you don't know how to.
Proud person, yes.
Yes, you did in English. And you have to make you better in this aspect, so you born like a homeless person. So you born
like a what kind of person?
Homeless person. You know what I mean?
Humble.
Four or something.
Four.
Yeah.
How do you know that's to make you humble? How do you know?
Maybe it's the situation that you have to stand.
But how do you know? You make the standard? You make the system?
No, of course not. But
so how do you know? You make the laws in Brazil?
No, but before you're born,
yeah. You
choose the place that will make you get the things you want.
Who told you that?
Who told me that? I think.
let me tell you what I think. I think that when I go to Brazil, I'm going to do whatever I want. And it's going to be better.
No.
I'm going to cut down all the trees in the rainforest. No, it's going to be better when there's no more rainforest. You'll get a lot of money, you know, because I can get some money from selling all the trees.
I don't think it's make you better.
I do. The more money, the kind of want money. To be able to buy diamond earrings and everything.
But
I think it's better.
Your body's going
to. But still, okay, my body thinks it's better, but still, it's my decision. I'm choosing to do it, okay?
No, but not what I mean.
Do you like my choice?
Your choice hurts the others.
My choice hurts the others. Yeah. But that's my choice.
I don't think it's a good choice.
Well, then we have an argument.
Yeah.
I think it is a good choice. You don't.
Of course, you hurt the others.
No, you hurt the others, because you don't let me do my choice. So I'm feeling hurt that you won't allow me to cut down all the rainforest.
Because you have a choice, and you'll come back to the tree.
Yeah, that's it. That's it what I mean.
I may choose to respect you, I may not, but so what? It's my choice.
But yeah, you were saying that I have to respect the other choice.
because it's my choice. You can try to control the weight force, you can, she has a lot of obedience, she can, I don't know, it's okay to, it's okay. Because she has another choice. Yes. So now you know why the world is such a crazy place. Each person's thinking, I know what is right. Just like you were saying, well, I think that you choose what your next life's going to be. How do you know? Just because you think it, I choose to cut down all the rainbows. Who will decide? Who's the judge?
You are your judge.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I am my own judge. You are your own judge.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is.
That's it.
That's as far as you can see. You say that you feel like the truth is that you choose your next life situation, right? But just because you feel that way, does that mean that is what the system is?
But I think you mentioned because you wanna be in the better way, or you wanna do what you want to do. That's what I mean. I can't explain to you what I really think, but.
Yeah, but you're missing a big point. Natasha, can you catch all this?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, what you're saying is everybody has their own, you know, mind view about, you know, life, and everybody thinks they're right, and your decisions, you know, cause and effect, whatever. That's what I believe. I'm out of my own place.
So who decides? Everyone has their own belief.
Who decides what's right and wrong?
Yeah.
What I'm saying? A more supreme being.
A more supreme being. Oh, that's the new thing. A more supreme being.
But we don't really. I mean. You know. Good and bad, I don't know, something that the society has its own views about good and bad.
Yeah, go on, very good.
And different societies have their own views about good and bad.
Very good. And so?
And so, no one really knows.
This is the conclusion of modern education. This is what you care about. Very good. They taught you very well. And now, based on that understanding that they teach everybody in school today, there's supposed to be world peace. Yes, this is the best they teach you in school these days. How to understand that everything is relative. You know what that means? Everything is relative. Everyone's got their own idea. Each idea is just as good as the other. This is called moral relativity. There's no absolute standard. There's no strict standard. It's up to everyone. The only way you can resolve this situation is by understanding the ultimate standard, the supreme standard. Now, how do you find the supreme standard? Otherwise, I'll think it's good to cut down rainforest. You won't. Where do we find out a supreme standard?
From, within us. I know that sounds really. But, I mean, you know, if everybody has a spirit sense, there has to be some sort of sense of good in us. So if we want to search, then.
How do you search within you? You open up your stomach or something? Look inside your navel?
I don't know.
If you're religious, you believe that you'd find those qualities of goodness described somewhere in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Buddhist, you follow that path and you can find those qualities somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Muslim, then you'd find the same thing. I therefore assume that if we follow Krishna consciousness, it will be the guide. We won't have to question whether we're right or wrong or no.
So what you're saying is that you should take the ultimate standard from the ultimate. In other words, if we're going to understand an ultimate standard,
you understand?
Then we must understand the ultimate. But if we don't understand the ultimate, how can we understand the ultimate standard? So how are we going to get knowledge of the ultimate? Then we can decide what is proper, what is improper. So it's not by looking within our navels, it's by getting knowledge from the Supreme. And that is what Bhagavad Gita is all about.
But, like, what other religions say the same thing?
Yes. So you have to, as a human being, it is your responsibility to find out the greatest knowledge of the Supreme that you can get. Any questions about this so far? Now this is a the reason I'm dreaming is because I'm associating with my body coming on. I think I have my body right then. So I'm having the daydream and the night dream. Was fully aware and fully always conscious that they weren't their body, does that mean they're not dreaming anymore? Does that make sense?
Right.
I mean, if someone...
We actually have to recognize what the dream is. The dream is thinking I'm this body and mind. When you don't identify with your body and mind anymore, you're not dreaming, even though you still may be in the body and mind. It's like a coconut. You've never seen a dried up coconut, have you? Have you seen a dried up coconut? The inside separates from the shell. Do you have coconuts in Brazil?
We have coconuts.
I don't know what you mean. Can you explain?
Coconut?
Yeah.
Coconut?
And a perch. Good night.
Yeah. Big nuts that go on
trees.
Sorry, coconut. Yeah,
coconut.
Coconut. What do you call it?
They're fresh inside.
Cocos. Cocos. Cocos.
Yeah.
Okay. So, have you ever seen one that's dried up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the inside separates from the outside.
Yeah.
So that's a good way of understanding that you can separate from thinking you're the body, even though you are still seemingly in the body.
Yeah, but coconut is just a fruit.
I make an example. Any other questions?
If one time is doing rounds and chanting Hare Krishna or whatever, they are therefore in the situation that Adam is describing. Yeah?
If someone, say it again?
Someone's chanting Hare Krishna several times.
Mm-hmm.
At some stage they cease to be the body.
Well, we are never the body, but, so if you follow the proper...
Cease to recognize the body.
Yes. If you follow the appropriate spiritual technique, at some point you will no longer identify with the body. You'll understand the body is a covering. It's not you, it's just a covering.
Like a
fool. Yes. I'm a fool if I think I'm this sweater. So at some point I should understand that this sweater is just a covering, a cloth. It is not me. Any other questions? This is all intelligence, what we've been discussing. Now I hope you can understand why we say that real intelligence is not taught in school. Real intelligence means to understand the difference between matter and spirit. Birth. She said something that points right to birth.
She said that, how did she put it? When you forget about this body, and then you remember another body, more or less she said something like that. Yes?
Yeah.
Forgetting this body completely happens at death, but it's very painful because you don't want to forget the body, but the body is filled with such pain that you say, oh, I just want to end this pain, so you're out of here. That's what death is. So you forget the body you leave behind, and then you enter another body, and you remember, it's me, the body. That's what birth is. Remembering you're the body.
But remembering you're a different body, because you don't remember the previous body.
Whether you identify with this body or that body, it's all wrong.
You're worrying about it someday, and you feel again the same.
Yes.
Yes.
It's me, the body. That's birth.
But how do you decide, like, what decides when you die? What stage is that?
According to your karma. You know what karma is?
Karma. The least word I was trying to say. What are you talking about this time?
Karma means reaction to your action. Every action has a reaction.
Yeah.
Now, do you know that system of action and reaction?
Something like you plant what you
harvest what you plant.
Yes.
Like
what effect.
Very good, yes. Now, my point to you was, do you know the system of cause and effect? No, you don't.
Yes. How can you know what you
How can you know what?
What you, I don't know the word you said. How can you know what you get for you?
Yes. You don't know the system.
Yes.
So it's very dangerous.
Yes.
If I go to Brazil, I don't know the laws. Is it dangerous?
Yes, of course it is. Yes.
What happens if I go to Brazil and drive on the left side of the road? Is that the correct side? So I should know what the system is, yeah?
Yes.
So isn't it crazy to live life without knowing the overall system?
Yeah, very crazy.
But we still do it anyway, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because we're attached to this body. We're attached to dreaming. Let us use you as an example, don't mind. But, yeah, there you are. You think, I am this body, and I'm having a nice time with my head on the shoulder of his body. It's dreaming. Now, we're just analyzing, don't get me wrong. Now, when you're like that, when you're sitting like that, you're thinking there's some advantage to this, right?
An advantage?
Yes. Well, you know what? You wouldn't do it.
What?
You would not do it if you didn't think there was some advantage.
Sometimes you
get
too far.
Well, whatever, but there, you can feel comfortable, feel good, feel...
Yes. You're feeling?
Good?
Yes. Are you feeling I'm the body, and he's the body, and I put my shoulder, my head on his body, and it's nice. Huh?
Comfortable.
But my point is, you are feeling some bodily happiness from this. Otherwise you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You're thinking, I have a body, he has a body, I put my head on his shoulder.
This is nice.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's thinking, oh, anyway, that's what she thinks is nice, all right, I'll say it. You're identifying with the body.
Yes.
And you want him to identify with his body. And by the combination of those two misidentifications, you think there's going to be happiness. Huh?
Yeah.
Now suppose I take this sweater and I
about it.
It's resting so comfortably. Ecstatic, huh? You know the word ecstatic?
Schmuck.
Yeah.
Actually, now we should jump to number three, nonviolence. And we'll get an understanding of what you just said. We need others to comfort us. What we think might be getting comfort from others could actually be violence. Could that be possible?
You mean like revenge?
Hmm?
Like revenge.
No. What we think is helping someone could actually be violence.
Like not allowing euthanasia, like making them live on and just be able to die with drugs, that kind of thing.
Why?
It happens because they're, oh, they can live longer, but really it's like a horrible, painful life and they should be able to die. Is that what you mean?
So, how do you, what do you mean by euthanasia?
Oh, that's the thing where you get to choose if you don't want to keep taking the drugs that are keeping you alive. It's like good fun, but not really, because you choose to take it. The doctors let you die because they've got the drugs that are keeping you alive.
Oh, is that?
You can learn.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay.
But,
how do you know that stops the pain?
I don't know what I'm saying. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Isn't it unbiased?
Yeah. Euthanasia actually causes more pain because it's suicide is an illegal escape from jail.
I don't really mean that. Euthanasia. I mean, it's so you choose to stop thinking that you've got the drugs and drugs that are keeping you alive. Like if you're loving to stop drugs and it's painful and not away. He thinks he's happy, but he's not. You know what I mean?
You know what she means, Adam?
Yeah, I think I say it all. Just visualizing what the next day could be like for that person, and maybe the pain of this life. I don't get that as what you're experiencing.
I think for she means that when you stop losing and survive, it's unreal because you don't stop losing and survive.
I just right back to your argument that you want to chop down the rainforest.
Yeah.
You're not wanting to chop down the rainforest.
Yeah.
And if he is comforting you in the way he believes he should comfort you, it might be not comforting you.
But how do we know that... What's your name again? How do we know that you're not doing her violence? He's honest. He's a maybe. He doesn't know. How do you know that you're not being violent towards him?
You define the word violence.
Okay. First we'll do birth, and then we'll go to violence. Page 510 at the bottom.
No.
That is
them that they are not the material body, that they are spiritual parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who are therefore engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Godhead, have nothing to fear. Their future is very bright. The spirit is a condition of the persons who are not in Krishna consciousness.
Abhayam.
Fearlessness is possible only to one in Krishna consciousness.
Okay. Any questions about that?
So, if they come, are they ignorant?
Ignorant? Yes. You don't know who you are, and you don't know what's good for you.
Don't you?
Yes. We don't know what will become of us. You love and you hate, and both are foolish. Both are just activities based on ignorance. Okay, non-violence is the next one. We're going to find out now the real standard. What is violence and what is not? It'll be a bit surprising. Mary, would you like to read that paragraph? Yes, loudly please.
Means that one should not do anything which will put others into misery or confusion. Instead, like to receive the promise of the new politician, that she always not forget to carry the power, because politicians have got it. But if they have no intent of being politicians, they do not know what is actually beneficial for human society. The human body is meant for spiritual realization, not for any movement or any commission. It should not pursue that aim to commit violence on the human body. That which furthers the future spiritual happiness of the people and general is foregone violence.
Okay, so, now can you answer what is violence? What?
For anything that harms the betterment of your soul?
Yes. Therefore, by keeping people in ignorance of their soul, that is violence. Yes?
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
Right. So even though we might think we're helping somebody, we're actually doing them violence.
Yeah.
So by treating others as if they are the body, that's being violent. Because you're helping that person to stay in illusion. You understand?
That complication is
violent. Just think what I just said. You didn't want to think about it. You're fighting me off now. By treating someone as if they are the body, that is doing violence to them. You understand?
So you mean anything that is comfortable and good for the body is bad for the soul?
Not necessarily. What I'm saying is something deeper. To think that you are the body and to treat someone else like they are the body, that is violence. Can you see that? Can you see that? You might call it welfare work. You might call it helping, you might call it loving, you might call it friendship, but from the precise standard, it is violence, because you are treating them, you are acting toward them in such a way that is based on illusion. You're treating them like they are the sweater.
Mm-hmm.
And with your help, they think, oh, I am the sweater. You say, yes, you are the sweater.
Yeah.
You are a sweater, I am a sweater, we belong together. Right?
The best way to dominate people.
Yes, is to commit violence.
Yeah.
And the best way to serve somebody is what?
To serve?
Serve. The best way to give service to someone is what?
Yeah. The best way keeps the people in ignorance.
No. That's basically what's going on. speaking, the best way to serve someone is to give them spiritual knowledge. That is real love. So if you really love someone, you want to bring them out of illusion. You understand?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you want to exploit someone, then you treat them like they are the body.
Okay.
Now you understand?
Yes.
Okay. Treat them as a spark. You understand that? Any questions on this violence and nonviolence? It's a very important point.
So how do you know where to draw the limits?
You can't draw the limits.
So you don't know whether you're harming somebody or whether you're helping them?
How do you know what the law of New Zealand is?
It's because it's stated like harming them.
Yes, yes. So you have to find the supreme law.
Yes.
That is your job as a human being, to know the law. Otherwise, how can you be intelligent? You must find out the supreme law from the supreme lawmaker.
But if you need the, you know the supreme law, you need to follow the law.
What happens in Brazil if you don't follow the law and you get caught?
Yes.
So similarly, there is the universal law of karma, action and reaction. For every action, there's a reaction.
Yeah.
Just because you don't know about the reaction doesn't mean there is not one.
I thought that he had a drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
How would I be able to help him get out of that? With our teaching Krishna consciousness, how would...
But everybody is addicted to something. Your brother has a particularly difficult addiction, but everyone in material life has an addiction. They're addicted to so many horrible things.
As the physical, spiritual being assists his physical brother without being violent to him. That's the question.
The only solution for anyone's addiction is a spiritual solution. For all the addictions that everyone has, unless they get a higher spiritual taste, they will not give up the lower spiritual taste. That's what Krishna says in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita. Self-interest. You'll only give up what you have if you get something better. And how come you didn't stay like that? Why did you shift? Yes. too good to think about those things, because you just got to do the best you can right now, okay? Based on ignorance, okay?
Yeah. Right. So how do you make that transgression from physical pleasure to spiritual pleasure?
You have to learn spiritual techniques for getting real pleasure. You have to educate yourself. Develop real intelligence. And you get the best spiritual education from the Supreme. You can't figure it all out. I can't figure it all out. It's not possible for us to draw the line somewhere, as you were saying. We don't have the power to draw the line. We have to take the information from someone else. Therefore, the real goal of the human life is to understand the ultimate, to understand the Supreme, to understand Krishna. That is actually the goal. Otherwise, everything else is murky. Everything else is unclear and confusing.
And when we do understand, like after we go into a different life, then what happens? We're released from our body as well.
What happens when what?
What happens when we do eventually, you know, gain all the knowledge and wisdom, which we should, right? I mean,
yes.
We go into different lives. What happens after that?
The perfect thing is you don't take another material body.
Yes,
you revive your spiritual existence.
So it goes where it came from originally?
Yes, originally you are meant to have a relationship with the Supreme Soul. But you've forgotten that. And you try to establish relationships with so many material objects in this world.
Is there sort of like a relationship between your soul and your body? Like, okay, say I was really good in this life, okay, as a human, and I die and I go into the next life, then what form will my body take? I mean, will it reflect my soul, or will it...
It will reflect your actions in your past life.
Okay, so say I was, like, really good, then what would...
What do you mean by really good?
Like, you know, Krishna consciousness, I knew all about it and everything.
Then you wouldn't get another body of matter in your next life.
Oh.
If your Krishna consciousness is perfect and complete, you won't get another body of matter.
But since I really strove to understand, you know, and I did a lot for my spiritual soul, you know, I mean, what would happen to my body? I know we're sort of drifting away now. What would happen to my body? Like, what form would it take? Would it take a form better to...
But everyone, all the bodies at death, they turn into dust or ashes or worms.
She's talking about the next body.
Yeah, and she's quite not given the perfect Krishna consciousness.
Yeah,
but she did like get halfway there.
Oh, that's described in chapter 6. Yeah. Turn to page 349. No, 348. Page 348. I'll just read the Sanskrit, and this will be our final lesson for today. Maybe we should talk about it. Yeah, actually, we haven't talked about this in a long time. Maybe we'll do it next time. Arjuna Vacha Ayatishadayo Peto Yoga Charita Manasa Aprapya Yoga Samsidin Kangatin Krishna Gachanti.
This is like 6.4 hours.
I'm talking about page 348. Adam, you like to read translation? Page 348.
Arjuna said, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendental? Who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism.
Okay, next verse. Kachino Vaya Vibhastash Chinatram Ivanashiti.
I want the arm Krishna. Does not such an man who is bewildered from the path of transcendence fall away from both spiritual and material success and perish like a ribbon cloud with no position in any sphere?
So, Natasha, you're seeing your question?
Yeah.
Okay, go on. Sayam Krishna. Chaitanya samsayasya chaitanya vipapajyate
This is my doubt about Krishna, and I ask you to dispel it completely. But for you, no one is to be found. But for you, no one is to be found who can destroy themselves.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha Pavata Naiveha Namutra Vinasya Tachya Vijyate Nahi Kayana Krikashche Durga Tengkata Kachyate.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Son of Prasad, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activity does not meet with destruction either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil.
Next. Prapya punya kritam lokan ushita shastati sama suchinam srimatangehe yoga prashto vijayate.
The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planet of the pious living entity, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy.
Okay.
But Vijayashakti?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be against the...
If you're born in a rich family, that means you have the opportunity not to worry about material necessities, and you can simply devote yourself to spiritual knowledge. Of course, in this material, there's always a downside to everything. So many people are born in rich families, but they don't care about spiritual knowledge. They just get lost in the riches. Therefore, it's best not to take birth again.
Wouldn't you say that's been most?
Most
people who are born into rich families are not concerned with
right.
spirituality. They're concerned with upgrading the jet actually for a bigger hi-fi, a bigger TV, or because they can afford it.
But it's not always like that in the Earth's history. But right now it's like that. But still, even the best of times when you have actually noble aristocracy, still there's always a risk. And therefore, it's best not to take birth again. It's best to finish up your business in this life.
Can you still, like, deter it? Like, say, this guy, this yogi, he got into, like, a rich aristocratic family.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got so...
Right.
Yeah, he became so overcome with, like, the physical nature that he serves.
Yes, you can go backwards, but you never lose the credit that you accumulated.
Oh, okay.
It's like you always keep with you the credit, but it may take some time for it to manifest again.
So when he dies, he'll go back to the same stage again?
No, he has to suffer for all the things he did wrong, but still, he doesn't lose the transcendental credit he has after he suffered all the reactions for his bad karma. Then, once again, he gets reestablished with the credit he's accumulated. Because he never loses the bank balance.
I don't know how incarnations predestined by destiny or Krishna's...
No. It's up to you. You make your own...
destiny.
Yeah, you either pull yourself up with a rope or hang yourself. Okay, we'll go on to the next verse. Atavayoginamiva kule bhavati dhimatam ekrati durabhataram loke janma yaridrasam.
That's unsuccessful after long practice of yoga. He takes a birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world.
So you got two cases. If you break off your yoga practice in Krishna consciousness after a short time or after a long time.
Sir.
You get two different results.
Yeah.
If you only have a little bit of credit that you've accumulated, then you take birth in your next life in a family of spiritual intellectuals known as Brahmanas, or you take birth in a family of rich aristocracy. If you have long spiritual practice, then you take birth in a family of transcendentalists, and that is the rarest birth in this world. Okay, next verse. Tatvatam buddhi sang yogam lavate kaurvade hikam yatate chatatam buddhya samsidhau kuru nandana.
On taking such a view, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life, and he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success.
Yes. So you keep your accumulation of credits with you. So one time, next time we'll go into this more. It's very fascinating.
the fate of the unsuccessful yogi? Is it all useless because you didn't make it to the final goal? You gave up material pleasure and you took up spiritual practices, but you didn't get spiritual perfection? Does that mean you've blown it both ways? No spiritual perfection, no material happiness? Very important question. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So all this is in Bhagavad Gita, the preliminary study. Okay. It's dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for listening so attentively. Fascinating, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After dinner at about 9 o'clock, we have a nice soul serenade, we call it. We sing very nice mantras. I think everyone's welcome.
Mm-hmm.